It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat with host Mike Bellamy on WICC.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Coffee Break Chat. I am your host, Mike Bellamy. In studio is attorney Kathleen Nastri from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. I know a long trip for you, Kathleen, just down a few floors here. But a real tragic story out of Waterbury, and I think a story that somewhat surprised individuals because we're hearing about it on the back end of things, as opposed to when it exactly happened. Just recently, the former head of the Waterbury Boys and Girls Club, Robert Generali, who's about to be sentenced for theft, wire fraud, and a host of other crimes, and he was widely quoted in the media. We had it right here on WICC 600. He blamed his behavior on an incident that happened at his club, and that's where attorney Kathleen Nastri joins us this morning. Kathleen, thank you so much for coming in. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. I'm well, thanks.
You represent the family of the little girl that we're going to be talking about here this morning. Kind of first off, tell us what led to these statements by this Generali's attorneys the other day.
Sure. So I represent the family of Brianna Murray, in particular her mother, Retamar Robinson. Brianna Murray drowned at the Boys and Girls Club in June of 2008, and we didn't make any public statements about it at the time, despite the very, very disturbing facts of the incident at the pool. But what happened is Retamar woke up in the morning, opened the newspaper in Waterbury, and discovered that Generali, who was the executive director of the club at the time, in charge of all the events at the club, blamed his criminal behavior, his demise into use of alcohol and some other issues on the drowning at the club. And so we felt that was cowardly and despicable, and it was time for us to make some statements.
Now, when it comes to not saying anything, has there been a pending case or anything against the Boys and Girls Club, against this individual?
Yeah, there's a lawsuit pending in the Waterbury Courthouse, which will go to trial this spring of 2013. And I never feel it's appropriate to, you know, for purposes of advancing a lawsuit to get a lot of publicity. But in this case, given the statements that he made and the circumstances, we felt it was the right time.
Now, as you said, the mother, I would assume, felt blindsided by these statements and probably had every emotion that you could think of stir up quickly, and so she spoke out.
Yeah. After the drowning, this terrible, tragic event, one of her complaints and her concerns was that no one from the club ever called her to say, not only to say what happened, but to say, we're really sorry. You know, you've lost your child, something that no parent should ever have to experience. They never offered her any comfort or explanation or condolence or acknowledgement. And then 4 years after the fact, to read that the executive director is now blaming the drowning on the downturn in his life, it was just really, really disturbing for her.
Joining us in studio, attorney Kathleen Nastri from Koskoff, Koskoff and Beter. She is representing the family of Brianna, this young girl who died in 2008 at the Waterbury Boys and Girls Club. And just recently, attorneys for Robert Generali, who was the former head and is about to be sentenced for theft, wire fraud, and a host of other crimes, he came out and said that this drowning caused his life to go into a downward spiral. Alcohol was involved, and because of that, he committed these crimes, I would assume, arguments over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things we learned, which was sort of interesting, and I've spoken to the assistant U.S. attorney on the case briefly about it, he blames his behavior on this event, an event that I would say was his own fault for the failures at the club. But his behavior, the behavior that he's been accused of by the government, began in 2006, 2 years before this event.
Oh.
So it's a hard argument to make.
Unless he's a fortune teller, I don't know how he would have been able to blame it on that, that's for sure. Now, the actual incident itself, the real root of the story and the fact that, you know, Brianna's death, what happened? I mean, are we piecing things back together as to what happened on that particular day?
Yeah, we've known all along, based on our own investigation, a police investigation, and a security camera video that was in the pool, we know really very, very precisely what happened. So the story is this. Retamar signed up Brianna and her brother Darnell, who was also in the pool, up for this after-school program at the Boys and Girls Club, a program where you'd think kids are safe and protected. And they have an after-school program that includes a free swim in the pool at the club. Redimar advised the club that Brianna was not a swimmer. And there were probably a lot of kids in the pool that day who were not swimmers. So on the day of Brianna's drowning, about 35 inner city kids are taken to the pool by a staff person who is theoretically trained in lifeguard techniques, but is dressed in street clothes, a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt. She sits down on the pool deck. You know, most pools are equipped with, and in fact, the Red Cross requires pools to be equipped with a lifeguard chair, which is elevated above the pool deck so you can have a view of the pool. She's not in that chair. She was in on the pool deck drinking a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee and trying her best, I suppose, to monitor these 35 kids, most of whom were not swimmers and most of whom did not have flotation devices on. At some point during that free swim, Brianna went under the water unnoticed by the lifeguard, and she was under, we think, for at least 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
A young boy in the pool alerts the lifeguard that she's under the water, and rather than diving in then and making the rescue, she tells one of the boys in the pool to get Brianna's body and drag it over to the other side of the pool deck, which he does, and then the lifeguard pulls Brianna out of the pool, and they're unable to... They resuscitated her, but she was had lost oxygen for too long and her brain function had stopped, so she didn't survive it.
So where are we at today? You said in spring of 2013, is this against the Boys and Girls Club, this individual? What's the case pending?
Yeah, the case is against the Boys and Girls Club. There are a variety of allegations, including obviously the lifeguard's inattention and her failures at the pool, but mostly it has to do with the policies and procedures at the Boys and Girls Club. You can't have 35 non-swimming kids in a pool with one lifeguard. That's a violation of every safety guideline. Before you put kids in a pool like this, you have to give them a swim test so you know who swims and who doesn't swim. You have to be in a lifeguard chair. You have to be ready to make a rescue, so you have to be in lifeguard attire. You have to have emergency equipment available to you, and you have to be able to scan to keep these kids safe, and none of those procedures were in place. And in fact, the thing that Redimar is most upset about is, so far as we know, based on the discovery that we have done, none of those procedures changed after this drowning.
So this is after the Boys and Girls Club as a whole, not just the Waterbury particular location, or is this just the Waterbury location?
It's just the Waterbury location. And I should say, I guess, the Boys and Girls Clubs around the country do great things, great things. And there's no criticism by Redimar in general of the Boys and Girls Club. Each club is run individually, individual management, individual policies, individual procedures, although there is a nationwide organization. So this claim is only against the Waterbury Boys and Girls Club for the specific failures relating to the pool and its pool safety procedures.
Have you guys looked in to see if other locations have these same lack of procedures when it comes to that, or you're just concentrating on the Waterbury location?
We're concentrating on the Waterbury location, but one of the disturbing things that we've learned as the case has progressed is that drowning is a real public safety issue. In 2008, it was the number one cause of non-injury-related death among kids ages 4 and under. And more disturbing than that is that black children are 3 times as likely to die in a drowning as white children. Underprivileged children are 4 times as likely to die in a drowning death as their, you know, higher economic counterparts. And so those are really disturbing facts. And it says something about not only public safety, but about society in general and how we monitor these kids. A pool in a Boys and Girls Club should be a place where kids are safe and parents can assume that their kids will be safe. And this shouldn't happen. So I'm hoping that it's not only some comfort for this family, but that people become more and more aware of drowning issues in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Kathleen, we appreciate your time here this morning. Keep us up to date as to how this is going, if you could. And please send our, you know, condolences to the family. We were just walking down the hallway. I have a 14-month-old at home. And it's the fear, I'm sure, of every parent to have to, at some point, bury their own child. But then such a tragic situation like this, I can understand why Redimar would probably see a press conference or hear a comment from an attorney in a pending case and flip out, so to speak, just with all of the anger and frustration that's been pending up. It's most certainly justified as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, she was hurt. I'll tell you that we learn every day, given the work that we do, that, you know, you go home and hug your kids. It's important.
Absolutely. Kathleen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
As we said, attorney Kathleen Nastri with Koskoff, Koskoff & Beter joining us here on WICC 600. For everything.